Kind of a thrill for me right now. One of my all-time favorite bands is Third Eye Blind. You could say Stephen Jenkins is one of my musical idols. And he joins us right now out and about somewhere in the U.S. driving around. Stephen Jenkins, Third Eye Blind. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for all the idol worship. I really appreciate it. I'm happy to be your false idol. Great.
False idol? Hey.
Yeah.
You're my American idol.
Oh, dear. I've never actually, you know what? I think I'm one of the only people on Earth who's never seen that show.
I still watch it sometimes. I used to watch it religiously because I had an ex that was obsessed with it.
How about that?
Now, speaking of ex-girlfriends, back in the day, 1998, do you remember the Bonfire Tour with Eve Six?
I remember that. We renamed it the Bus Tour because on that tour, two of my buses burned to the ground.
What? How did that happen?
And one of them was on tour, like, for a long time. So my tour manager wakes me up and goes, "Steven, the bus is on fire." And I go, "Well, is it serious? Do I have to get up?" And he goes, "Dude, the bus is on fire." So
might be something you want to get up to. Yeah, I took an ex to that show, and she was like, "Oh, I'm going to wear this low-cut shirt so Stephen Jenkins will notice me and take me home." Luckily, you didn't, you know, for my sake, I guess, right?
Well, great. You know, I'm in, I don't know, Third Eye Blind sex just happens. It just falls around like a happy little cloud.
It's just natural. You guys have kind of an urban legend background, if this stuff is all accurate here. So let's see if this is accurate or not. First of all, did you once challenge a record exec to let you open up for Oasis back in 1996 to get your first big break there? Is that true?
Yes. He said, "When can I see you?" And I knew that his their record company had Oasis. And I knew Oasis was playing in San Francisco, so I said, "You can just let us open for Oasis next Wednesday." And that's actually how we got a record deal, was opening for them.
Okay, and then you guys, as the opening band, got an encore and a standing ovation and double pay. Is that all accurate, too?
That is all actually true. Sherry Wasserman was the promoter of the show, and she doubled our pay, which was really great. So I think we got like $500 instead of $250, but still, it was a big deal to us.
Had a nice steak that night or something. And then also, back in the day, you guys used to have a pinata and the mosh pit. I remember that, and candy would come out. But you also once let the crickets out, and that's true, too?
We filled it with crickets and smashed it, yeah. That was fairly, because, we thought it would be funny. We did that to a record executive who was, when we were shopping, and they basically all just left.
Do you guys still do the pinata thing at all or not?
No. You don't want to be too hard on the crickets.
Yeah, PETA's watching, right?
we have like a kind of a propensity to do wrong things. But it's all meant in, there's a certain amount of glee associated with it, I suppose.
Yeah, you're a rock star. You can do whatever you want. You know, trash hotel rooms, right?
Never trash a hotel room because, I mean, I respect people who work. Somebody's got to clean that up. So we're all in this thing together.
That's true. Now, speaking of Rockstar, like two nights ago, I was going through HBO, the movie,
yeah.
Rockstar, back in 2001, Mark Wahlberg, Jennifer Aniston, George Clooney produced it. You were in that. What was that whole experience like, making that movie?
I had a cold that night. And I thought we were going to rehearse something. And I got to the set and basically put on the wig and walked in and just went go. And so there was never any rehearsal or anything at all. And I did it because Mark Wahlberg and I were kind of pals. We were friends. And he just invited me to do the movie. And I remember when we got there, we have a fight scene. And there were all these fight choreographers who work with Jet Li and everything else like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had us like kicking and punching and throwing kicks and things. I'm like, every fight that I ever saw in high school, like it was like, it'd be like, threaten, push, push, and then somebody would grab the other guy, and then they'd be like, "Watch my shirt!" It's always sort of like embarrassing. So that ended up being the fight that we did. I was actually quite proud of our fight because it was just the most pathetic, silly-looking fight I think Mark Wahlberg's ever done.
That's a good flick. Do you ever watch that anymore? Like, do you ever dig it up for the hell of it or not?
I never watch myself now.
Ever?
No.
Dude, that's a golden one. You gotta watch that again someday.
I don't watch myself.
Same with music videos too?
Yeah, I don't watch them. I actually direct my own videos now, so I watch them when I make them. But I don't know. Not in the business of. It's interesting. I read this article about Mick Jagger and the remaking of Exile on Main Street. He said he's never listened to Rolling Stones records. I was like, wow, that's bizarre. I do, but You know, I get how he doesn't listen to himself.
We're talking to Stephen Jenkins right now, lead singer of Third Eye Blind. Now, as far as Third Eye Blind goes, obviously you guys from 96 to 03, top of the world. You then had some bad luck with the record label folding and took the next 5 years off from releasing music. Did you get any R&R time? What were you doing from like 03 to 08? What was your life like back then?
Well, we toured for a year, and then I made a couple of other records. I made some records for Vanessa Kalt and almost kind of just joined her band for a minute. And just kind of wanted to rethink what Third Eye Blind was about and how we were going to reach people with music. And then when that happened, this kind of whole new generation of fans came up of, you know, really kids. I mean, our audience now is probably – our audience is as young as it ever was. They're like 15 to 25-year-olds. They found this music through each other. So we're this band that's kind of had – it's like – It's identity returned to it by a whole new generation of fans. And that's the thing that really prompted this whole new kind of period in our life. And I think that's the reason why, you know, Ursa Major debuted at number one. We've never had a number one debut before. And it just happened because of, you know, this whole new group of people. That answers your question, Dave. Oh, I don't know. That was kind of long-winded.
That's intense. And actually, my next question I was going to ask you about, true story here, is the intelligence thing, man. I think you could be the smartest guy in all music. You got the valedictorian from Cal Berkeley. Your writing's great. I mean, that's accurate, right?
Yeah, that was accurate.
Yeah, okay, see, that's what I'm saying. I'll be modest here. Now, seriously, though, in the music industry, in the film industry, who are some of the other smartest and most interesting people you've ever met to talk to? Like, who can challenge you?
I'm not, like, just volunteering for that list. since I'm quite capable of doing some of the dumbest things I can possibly think of, I can never find my keys.
Who could intellectually challenge you, though? There has to be some people out there.
Intellectually challenge me?
Yeah, you're a deep guy. You're smart.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know.
Maybe Adam from the Counting Crows? He seems like he's a smart fellow, too.
Adam?
Yeah. I like the laugh. That's good.
Adam was the, yeah. I don't know. I'm really uncomfortable with the question.
Okay, fine. We'll skip that one then. Now, I always wonder, how many, like, unreleased songs do you have written and in the vault that you could come back to? Are there hundreds, 50, dozens?
There's probably about 50, yeah, something like that.
What if I, like, you know, gave you a random cut from your first album? Could you remember the words to every single song at this point? Do they start blending together after a while? Or?
You know, the good thing about Third Eye Blind fans is that they're really into lyrics. So I can, if ever I can't remember the words, because we're such a wordy band, I kind of just look down to the front and somebody's like, you know, somebody will lip sync it for me and it gets me caught up to speed.
Well, we want to thank you a lot for your time. Stephen Jenkins from Third Eye Blind. It's been a very fun talk with you, man.
David, you sure? I mean, that was really nice doing radio with you. You really seem like up on it.
Thanks, man. That means a lot. I appreciate that. And thank you for 15 great years of Third Eye Blind. Well, I guess it's more than that now, like more like 20, whatever. But looking forward to the next chapter and definitely stay in touch. Thanks so much for your time, man. And we'll talk soon. Take care.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. Bye.